Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Don't Age and Drive department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, this is a little story sent to us by Lois Grimason Hilton.
Okay.
Two little old ladies were out driving in a large car. Neither could really comfortably see over the dashboard. As they were cruising along, they came to an intersection. The stoplight was red, but they went flying right through.
You've done that.
Yeah. The woman in the passenger seat thought to herself, I must be losing it. I could have sworn we just went through a red light. After a few more minutes, they come to another intersection, and the light is red again. Once again, they went right through. The woman in the passenger seat was almost sure that the light had been red, but she didn't completely trust her eyesight, so she didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
At the next intersection, she watched very carefully. And sure enough, the light was red, and they went flying right through the intersection. So she turns to the other woman and says, Mildred, do you know that we just ran through three red lights in a row? You could have killed us both. Mildred turns around and says, oh, crap, am I driving?
No, well,
does it really get that bad?
You notice nobody rides with you. Look, if you got a question about your car.
Hey, I hadn't noticed that, but I'm always alone in the car.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. Anyway, if you have a question about your car.
I've even offered people a ride, and they said, no, I'll walk.
Even when it's raining, that's a dead giveaway. When it's
to New York, you're going to walk to New York.
Give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello,
I love
Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tyndall from Houston, Texas.
What's your name again?
Tyndall.
Tyndall.
T-I-N-D-E-L?
T-Y-N-D-A-L-L.
Really?
I love it.
Thank you.
Where'd you get that name?
It's a family name. It's actually my grandmother's maiden name.
Uh-huh.
Yes. That's how a lot of those names come about, like Chase.
Yeah.
Right?
And Taylor and
Yeah.
Jordan.
And Tyndall.
And Tyndall. I'm the man with two last names.
So what's going on, Tyndall?
I have a 98 Honda Civic with 130,000 miles on it that has been very, very, very good to me. And I have a very strange transmission problem that I can't exactly nail down, and it's somewhat of a relational issue too. I took the car to have some minor repairs done by a friend of mine's father who owns a mechanic shop.
Yeah.
And while he had it, he said that he adjusted the throttle cable or something like that because the gas pedal had been a little sticky.
Okay.
And immediately after getting it back from him, I started having this problem where if I'm driving at highway speeds, when I let off the gas, this is an automatic transmission. When I let off the gas, the tachometer doesn't drop down to like 1,000 RPMs and coast. It stays revved up like I've got a manual transmission and it's still in gear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start slowing down.
I got it. So how is this affecting your relationship?
That's where it gets complicated. Is this friend of mine was a colleague from work, and he left under somewhat shaky circumstances, so I don't really think I can go back to his father and ask him to fix it because his father got wrapped up in some of that too.
Was there embezzlement involved?
We should leave
prison
that
time.
Let's not go there.
Then we're going to the slammer.
Let's not go there. Let's stick with the cable.
Yeah, I think what he discovered was that in fact your throttle, when it went all the way to the closed position, was sticking in the throttle body.
Okay.
And the general remedy for this is to, in fact, clean that.
Okay.
And in 99 cases out of 100, if you clean that whole area, that will do it. In the one case where it doesn't do it, it's because the with a lot of miles on the car, and 130K is a lot, the throttle plate has actually worn a groove into the aluminum throttle body and has made like a home for itself that the throttle plate gets stuck in. So that when your foot is off the pedal, you have a hard time stepping on the pedal, getting the car to move from a dead stop, because I assume that that's what you had.
That's what I did have,
You
yes.
did have,
yeah.
and then when you finally got it going, the car would, like, lurch forward. So what he did, because there's no throttle adjustment on this, he decided to shorten the cable. And as such, he opened the throttle a crack just enough so that the throttle plate didn't close enough to come in contact with that worn area of the throttle body. But by doing that, he's made the thing rev at 1,800 RPM. And yeah, that's...
Because when you take your foot off the pedal, instead of it going back to the neutral position, it's going almost there, but not quite.
Okay.
So I think what you need to do is go to someone else who's going to adjust it back to where it should be. And if you're lucky, maybe he just didn't clean the throttle well enough. And cleaning it will fix it.
That will be the nicest thing to happen.
If you're not lucky, you need to replace that whole throttle body assembly, which is many hundreds of dollars. But, you know, if this guy is on the wrong side of the law, I wouldn't go and ask for my money back.
Okay. No, I wouldn't either.
Is it something that I could replace the throttle body?
You could, yeah. Yeah, in fact, you could buy a used one and put it on.
Oh, excellent. How much would a used one cost?
It'll be just like the one you got.
It'll be just like a brand new one for about 2 months, and then it'll be just like the one you've got. But it could be, you know, as little as $100 in a recycling yard.
Oh, excellent.
And then it just bolts on. It's real easy.
Okay.
Good luck, Tyndall.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye, bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK.
Oh, to have such simple problems.
Yes, indeed. 888, what's the number? 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eileen. I'm calling from San Jose, California.
Eileen with an EI?
An EI, that's right.
Okay, you never know.
What's up?
Well, I have a very cute foot. I have to preface this call with that. But I don't think that explains the reason my car will only start if I take my shoe off.
You have a what foot?
A cute foot.
Cute foot.
A cute foot.
And the only way I can get my car to start is if I take my shoe off.
No kidding.
So
doesn't anyone screen these calls? This lady's nuts.
I have many witnesses.
So you get in your car. Let me see if I get it right. You get in your car, you turn the key, and it won't start.
Right.
You take off your shoe.
Which shoe?
Right.
Left or right shoe?
My left shoe.
The left shoe.
Oh, and then you step on the clutch pedal.
Exactly.
Ah.
Someone was trying to start it the other night for 15, 20 minutes, came out and said, Eileen, your car will not start. And I said, oh, did you take your shoe off? And I walked out, took my shoe off, it started right up.
are you tall?
No, I'm very short.
He's short.
And it's with different pairs of shoes. It's not just like it's in one weird shoe. It's my running shoes. It's my walking shoes. It's my boots.
Well, what the shoe is preventing you from doing is pushing the clutch pedal down far enough to engage the switch that cuts out the starter motor.
Whoa.
There's a switch located on the clutch pedal.
I know.
And I don't know why. Taking...
Why would a shoe?
Well, let's
impair that.
Well, I was
motion.
Guessing that she had big feet. that was my initial guess that you had. You know,
but she doesn't. I think she's got cute little feet.
Well, she may, but somehow or another, the shoe is preventing that clutch pedal from going all the way down to the floor. Now, we've had many people call us that have had new carpets in their car, for example, and the carpet gets underneath the clutch pedal and prevents the engagement of this switch. This switch has to be, the contacts on this switch have to be closed, and the only way they get closed is by the pedal being pushed all the way to the floor, and when that happens, electricity is then allowed to pass from the ignition switch through this clutch switch, and then to the starter motor.
Wait,
otherwise, the starter motor.
We know all
turn.
That, but how can your shoe?
I'm explaining it to Eileen. And your foot bends. Your foot does things that your shoe doesn't allow it to do.
Gotcha.
I'm surprised you can't do it with sneakers. You here's what you need to do, Eileen.
I know.
You need to work your way up. I would start with ballet slippers. No, you know, there is the possibility that the switch is bad. You know, or misadjusted. There's an adjustment on that switch.
No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because for whatever reason, you are so close. And I think the bigger the person trying to start the car is, the less likely they are to have success. You get some big 250-pound guy with those size 14 shoes, he's got a snowball's chance in hell of starting that car.
Oh, I agree with that.
So you could, here's what you do. Now that we've determined what's wrong, you can take it to the shop and ask them to adjust this little switch.
I shall do that.
And there's a little nut they're going to loosen, and there's a little tang on the pedal itself that actually touches the switch. And they may find out that the thing, the little tang has been bent, or in fact the switch is loose or misadjusted, or the switch is no good. But when they can push on the switch without stepping on the pedal. This is what the mechanic will do, and turn the key. And if the mechanic can't get the car to start by doing that, then the switch is no good. Exactly.
What kind of? You didn't tell us what kind of a car it is.
Oh, I'm so sorry. sorry, it's a 2000 Toyota Celica.
Oh, this changes everything. No, that's what it is.
No.
See ya, Eileen.
Thank you so much.
All right,
good
thanks
luck.
For your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Mike calling from Anchorage.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm just great.
What's happening in Anchorage?
Well, we're having a nice fall day, and I've got a small dilemma, but it's not the worst thing in the world, but maybe you guys can help me.
Okay.
The deal is my two sons and I are sailing our family boat beginning in March. We're leaving San Diego, where the boat is now, to the Galapagos and then Tahiti and Marquesas for a two-year trip.
Holy cow.
See, this is what happens if you live in Alaska. You flip out at some point. And you quit your job, and you decide to take 2 years off.
And you say, I've had it with the snow.
You guys must have been peeking through the window to know what's going on up here.
Boy, what a trip.
Well, we've been planning it for a while, and the boat's great, and we're all ready to go. And
what kind of a boat is it?
It's a sailboat.
It is a sailboat. It's about 48 feet long.
Yeah, I mean, how else would you go? We're going to have aerial refueling? We're going to cross the Pacific.
Really?
Well, partway, anyhow.
Yeah, partway. They're going to have to rely on wind and this four-cylinder engine when there's, what? No stinking wind.
Really?
Well, the boat engine's great. That's not the problem.
I got it. Will your car make it to San Diego? Is that the question?
Well, it would make it. I'd send it partway on either the ferry or some other way to get it there, but it would make it.
Oh, okay. So what is the question?
Well, I'm glad you let me get to it, but here's the question.
Sorry to interrupt you.
I know it's tough, but here's the question. I've got a 73 Land Rover that I've been restoring for about 10 years, and it's sort of my baby. And the issue is whether to sell it or store it. And if I store it, I'm not sure whether you need to jack it up on blocks or you put it in Cosmoline or what you do with it.
Cosmoline anyway?
When I was a kid, you know, those Jeeps used to be stored in Cosmoline.
That's what they said, right. Of course, no one ever knew it.
I would like someone to send me.
Don't say it!
I don't want a 55-gallon drum. I'd like maybe a pint.
A pint.
Of Cosmoline.
Just to know what it is.
I'm sure it exists.
I think Estee Lauder makes it.
Well, that's the base for all those cosmetics.
Yeah.
But Cosmoline.
Wait, we interrupted him again.
Well, you can't sell it because obviously you've put your heart and soul into this thing.
Yeah. You've got to store it and then restore it when you come back.
Well, storing cars in Anchorage is pretty pricey. It costs like $150 a month to get somebody to store it in a garage.
Oh, you don't have any place to store it.
Nope. Well, the car in the driveway is not a deal. I can get outside storage, but inside storage... out of the snow and the rain, that's the dilemma.
Well, you don't have to store inside. I mean, you can get one of those car covers. In fact, you may be able to do that shrink wrap thing that they do for boats. Have you seen that?
Ooh.
Yeah, sure have.
Of course he's seen it. He's a sailor.
My little car won't sweat in there and not sort of rust out underneath the shrink wrap on those 3 days a year it gets warm.
Well, I don't think so, because what you're going to do is you're gonna suck out all the air that's inside the bag.
You're gonna drive the car into the bag.
Into the plastic bag.
This is like a Ziploc. Have you seen that thing that they advertise, those British guys advertise on TV to store your sweaters?
They don't have TV.
They got sweaters, though. You put like 500 sweaters in a bag. And then you attach your vacuum cleaner to this thing, and you run the vacuum cleaner for like, what, a week?
And you suck out
and then this thing
most
becomes
of the sweaters.
This becomes the size of your wallet. And you put this thing in, like, the top drawer of your dresser.
I carry it around.
And your sweater.
I got 25 sweaters in my pocket. That was British.
Cut that thing open. You can supply a family of 25 sweaters.
But you could do this. I mean, If you can get outside storage cheap, that would be the way to do it.
Yeah, you've got to go to a place that does. You go to a marina, you know, a place that services boats.
Yeah, and you just want to hire the guy to come and do it in somebody's driveway.
And I wouldn't worry at that point about jacking it up or doing any
of that
either. Stuff. The only thing about jacking it up is that it saves your tires from getting flat spots. But if you came back after 2 years and your tires had flat spots, and that were the only price you had to pay for storing the car for 2 years. I think I'd consider myself pretty lucky.
Me
of course,
too.
You should do the necessary precautions, run it out of gasoline, et cetera, et cetera. I wouldn't bother to change the oil. I would unhook the battery, and I would just push the thing in there and suck out the air and go to the Galapagos Islands and bring back a couple of turtles or something.
That sounds like a deal, guys.
Have you ever been to any of these places?
Well, no, as a matter of fact, I haven't. We've been the opposite direction, but not to the Pacific.
Cool.
Wow.
So how old are your two sons?
My older guy is 23, and he just graduated from college, and the younger guy is 19 and graduated from high school.
Boy, this is going to be the trip of a lifetime.
Send us postcards, man. That's going to be a great trip.
You can't send them postcards because he's going
you're in the middle of the ocean.
Send up a flare. See you, Mike.
Thank you very much, guys.
Good luck, Mike.
Bye-bye. Hey, do you happen to remember anything about last week's puzzler?
No, I can't say that I do. Maybe you could give me a hint.
Sure, of course, sir.
Yeah.
Answer this. What does your brain,
yeah,
have in common with a bowl of oatmeal?
A bowl of oatmeal? Cream of wheat or maple?
Doesn't matter. I'll tell you. The answer is everything. Your brain and a bowl of oatmeal are a perfect match. The puzzler was from my matchstick series.
Oh,
we'll be back with the answer and more of your calls in a minute, so please stay tuned.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Trucks pull steel and trucks pull stone. Trucks haul.
And even though our own network reporters try to scrape the NPR logo off their microphones whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. This was from my matchstick series, and I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
I did something awful.
You forgot the answer.
No.
There was no answer.
No. When I gave the puzzle last week.
Oh,
you misled
us?
Yeah, and I... And I, you know, ordinarily, and I know you're going to find this hard to believe, when I unclarify and obfuscate and all that, most of that is done by accident. But
sure.
I, by design last week, I suggested that you could use the third dimension. Remember? I said, take your four matchsticks. Here's the puzzler. You have four matchsticks of equal length, okay, and from those you can easily make a square. At each of the vertices of the square, there will be a right angle, a 90-degree angle. So there will be four of these 90-degree angles. And
right.
So the challenge was, using those same four matchsticks, how could you make not four 90-degree angles, but in fact 16 90-degree angles?
I remember asking if we could use mirrors, and you said no.
I said no, and I said, but you can use the third dimension or the fifth dimension or whatever dimension you want. But that was a clear misrepresentation. You don't have to use the stinking third dimension. It's all done on a flat tabletop.
No, but you told us we could use the third dimension.
But in saying so, I felt that I was
you misled us.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
You're used to it, huh? Okay, then that being the case, and I did mention that
you're going to do it in two dimensions?
You're not allowed to fold, bend, break, staple, or mutilate the matches in any way. And I did add that you could use the third dimension, but you don't have to. And here's how you do it. Take the four matches.
Yeah.
Take the two on the sides, okay,
mm-hmm.
and move them toward the middle. Take the two on the top and the bottom and move them toward the middle. What are you left with?
You're left with a tic-tac-toe grid.
You are left
one,
with a tic-tac-toe
two, three,
grid.
Four, there's 16.
There you go. QED. Do we have a winner? No third dimension necessary.
Hey, that's good.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah. The winner this week is Len Parkin from Easton, Pennsylvania. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Len is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our four-show CD collection called Four Perfectly Good Hours.
Are these four perfectly good random hours?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
They are hand-selected, grass-fed, free-range Car Talk shows that we picked because they were particularly good. Or I should say, particularly not too bad. Anyway, that collection of four perfectly good hours is yours, Len, if you want it, for being this week's Puzzler winner.
Whoop-de-doo. Anyway, we'll have a brand new Puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so don't give up on us yet. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amanda. I'm calling from Sacramento, California.
What's going on in Sacramento? We were in Sacramento not long ago, maybe 5 years ago. It's nice out there.
It is nice. I just moved down here, actually, a month ago. So I'm
down here? From where?
From Seattle.
You're down in the tropics now. Yeah, this time of year, the weather's pretty nice in Sacramento, I bet.
Oh, it's been gorgeous.
It's been gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what can we do for you?
Well, I have an etiquette question for you.
Oh, you have come to the right guy.
Excellent.
Go ahead. We're ready.
I'm wondering, if you receive a car as a gift, I'm wondering how long you have to keep it before you can sell it.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
well, tell us a little bit. How close a relationship do you have with the person who would have been giving you the car?
It's my father.
Oh, your father?
Yeah.
Okay. And this was obviously his car, or...
It was his car. He had been driving it for about 8 years, and he didn't drive it anymore. And I was at a point where my husband and I were trying to reduce our bills, and so we decided we were going to sell both of our cars that we had car payments on.
So what kind of a Buick is it?
That's the thing. It's a great car. It's beautiful. It's a 2000 Infiniti i30T.
Oh.
And it's gorgeous. It's extremely luxurious.
Yeah.
It's, you know, leather seats. It's beautiful color. He kept it in great shape. But it's not me, and I hate it.
Oh.
And I feel horrible. I feel like, you know, the ungrateful daughter. But I was driving a little Mazda Protege 5, and, you know, my dog fit in the back, and my daughter could trash it. And, you know, we like to do outdoor activities. And I don't think the Infiniti really...
It's not you.
No, it's not me. And I'm one of these people who thinks that a car says something about you.
Yeah, and you can't pitch your tent next to an Infiniti.
Right.
You can't go to the campsite and pitch your tent.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I'm terrified that my dog's going to tear up the leather seats, and I feel bad whenever a Cheerio lands on the floor. And
Now, do we know that your father is not, like, listening right now?
He might be listening, but I'm not sure.
Well, that might be the best thing. Might be the easiest way to break it to him.
That's true.
Yeah. So does he call and ask about the car?
He does.
Oh. He does.
He does. He wants to know how it's running and if we like it. And I feel horrible. I'm wondering if I should tell him that it starts breaking down on me and then I have a reason.
No.
He knows. He'll start sending you money to fix it. That might be even worse.
Yeah.
No, the only thing you're going to hope for, let me see, Sacramento. That's pretty, it's an earthquake zone there. I park this baby on a fault line every night and just hope for the best. I mean, the car could get swallowed up. Well, my instinct tells me that you should tell Dad the truth. Tell him that the car
isn't you,
and that you're afraid that you have one child?
Yeah, one.
You have a kid and a dog.
Yeah.
What kind of dog do you have?
She's a lab boxer mutt.
You're afraid she's going to tear up the leather seats?
No. He'll say, don't worry about that when that
happens. Yeah, I have spare ones in the cellar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but he obviously gave you the car because he thinks you need the money.
Right, he was helping out. We were making the move to California. It's more expensive here.
How many miles
he's very
on the...
generous. It's got, I believe, 40,000.
Oh, this thing could run forever.
Yeah, it really could. He didn't drive it very far.
Oh, no, you may never be able to get rid of this car.
Wait, is there any chance that you could learn to love it? No.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
So what is it about it that you don't like?
When I pull up, you know, at the playgroup, when I'm meeting new people here in Sacramento, I think that it gives the wrong impression.
Yeah.
And I also don't like taking it, you know, on dirt roads to go camping. And, you know, the Mazda had a place in the back for my dog, and I can't necessarily put my dog in the trunk now.
How about? I guess what's bothering you is it's too la-di-da.
It is, and it's really big, too, and the turning radius is horrible, and it gets horrible gas mileage.
Oh, that could be a way out of it. You can tell Dad you're going to get a hybrid.
Oh, there you go.
Right? You say, Dad, you know, I've really been thinking a lot about this car, and, you know, as nice as it is, we love driving it. Oh, my God, it's so comfortable, and it rides so well, and it's so quiet and safe, but we really want to do our part and reduce our carbon footprint. And we want
there
to get a we want to get a car that's more environmentally conscientious, you know, and we want to get a hybrid.
Then do I give it back to him, or can I sell it and take the
profit? Well, tell him I want to get the hybrid, but I can't afford it unless I sell you a car. I don't see any other possibilities, but I always, you know, you might just try telling him the brutal, honest truth.
Well, that's what I was just going to say the same thing. I mean, why fool around?
Yeah, can he take it? I mean, has he got a delicate ego?
I think he could take it. I just kind of feel bad.
Can we talk to him?
Oh, no.
No.
What do you mean?
No,
No, what do you mean?
No, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
Amanda, we have a way about us.
Oh, yes, we do.
We have a very gentle manner of communicating with fathers. And we have
Amanda, don't listen to anything.
After all, we're fathers, and we've been in this situation ourselves.
No, we haven't.
No, never.
We've never given our kids anything of value.
That's why they're waiting for us to die. Well, she's... I think I would try the direct and honest approach.
All right.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
Sure.
Because at some point, the cat's going to get out of the bag.
That's true.
How old's your daughter?
She's 1.5.
Oh.
Sooner or later, she's going to say, Mommy hates this car. You know, because if you say things often enough in front of your kids,
they
will remember
it
and repeat them.
They will blab it.
And it's only a matter, if you keep this car too long, she's going to tell Grandpa that Mommy hates this car.
That's true.
And then that's it for you.
Yeah. No, so you're going to have a nice sit down, have a cup of coffee and say, Dad, I love you. And I think it's wonderful that you gave us this car. But I have to tell you, it just isn't me.
All right. That's probably,
And see if you can get him to buy you a nice Honda Element.
I mean, he should understand that he's an old geezer. And you're not. And if he doesn't know that yet, someone's going to have to tell him.
He's gonna know because he's probably listening. Amanda, good luck. And let us know if you've been cut out of the will.
Thanks, you guys.
See you. Bye-bye.
I've cut all my kids out of my will.
You have.
There's no money to give.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Leland Brown from Bethlehem, PA.
That little town of Bethlehem.
Yes, sir.
So they call you Lee?
Yeah. Well, basically, most people, they call me Lee.
All right, Lee.
What's up, man?
Okay, I have a gray 1989 Cavalier Z24. I must say, this car is a darling. It's my baby. I have about three cars, and I drive this car the most. And
is the gray significant?
The gray is really significant. That's my favorite color.
Yeah, you know what that car cost in 1989? Did you buy it new?
No, actually, I bought it used. I honestly paid about $5,000 for it in 1999.
You could have bought it cheaper in 89. Brand new.
Well, what a collector's item.
What a collector's
item. It's appreciated.
Yeah. So it's gray. So what?
Okay, about 2 weeks ago, I had the car parked, and I went out to start the car up to go off to work. So, you know, it makes the usual noise. You know, it just kind of started up really good, right?
Yeah.
And I was, you know, backing up, and as I was backing up, the car cut off on me. So I popped it back in park again. when it started up, it made this like noise like that, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, that doesn't sound good.
But it started.
Yeah. The car started up, but it made this really crazy noise, like noise.
That's
like
that. You're good at this, man.
Do the first one again, Lee.
But the first one?
Yeah. I love it.
Man, there's a future for you in this. We need a guy like you. We should have an on-staff noise guy.
Right.
Cool.
Because we don't know how to do it.
So we can just cue Lee, and he'll go... Yeah. But, so go ahead. We're sorry to have interrupted.
That's fine. That's great. What happened was it started up, but from that day on, every time I make a right turn, it makes this really weird noise. And really, it only happens when I make a right turn. The noise sounds like... That's how it sounds. I don't know where it's coming from. It seems like it's coming from the front area of the car, right around the firewall, maybe around the engine compartment.
Is it a sharp right turn, like the wheel cut all the way?
No. As a matter of fact, now that you say that, when I make a light turn, I hear it lightly. When I make a sharp turn, it's really loud.
Here's what I think happened.
Okay.
I'm not sure what caused the stall.
No, okay, I'm not.
But I'm convinced that noises 2, 3, and whatever other noises it may ever make
are related
to the starter motor.
The starter motor.
I think you have what's called a broken starter drive. The starter drive is a device which is called an overrunning clutch, and it's attached to the gear on the starter motor such that when you turn the key to start the car, you make this gear pop out and engage the flywheel.
Right. Two things happen
when
you turn
the
key.
And that's what makes the sound.
Okay.
Okay, and then, vroom, when the thing starts up, the action of the flywheel now turning much faster than it was turning just a second before flings that gear back toward the starter, and it's also accompanied by your turning the key from the crank position to the run position, so you're no longer energizing the solenoid of the starter. But I think that all the noises are related.
Okay.
Man, because I think what's happened is the starter drive is broken and the gear is sticking out just enough so that when you make a turn, centrifugal force is throwing that gear against the flywheel. Boy, is this deep or is this deep?
Not only is it deep.
It's deep what?
It's very deep. And I'm raising my feet off the floor. I have one other question, Lee.
Yes.
Has it ever made sound number 2 since that day?
No.
Then I think my brother's theory is bogus.
Bogus. Interesting.
Wouldn't it do it again?
Lee has to do a little soul searching here.
Because you gave us the wrong answer to my question.
Well,
you gave my brother the wrong answer.
Sound number 2, while it may not have been reproduced to the same extent that you heard it that first day, I'm willing to bet you're going to say... But it's never sounded quite the same starting up as it used to.
Your Honor!
Am I leading the witness?
Counsel is leading the witness here. Come on.
All right, Lee, you tell us the truth. Am I right or am I wrong?
Okay, well, another thing that's happening here. In the morning time now, when I first turn the key, it doesn't want to start automatically. It takes like about 2 or 3 times.
But does it crank?
No, it doesn't crank. It just... turns and it stops there. No sound of nothing. I turn it again.
Oh, my brother is right.
I rest my case, Your Honor. The persecution rests.
He is right.
Yeah, I think you need a starter motor.
Really, it's a starter. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's obvious to us now why you love this car so much. I mean, it's hardly been any trouble at all.
Really, I've had this car, man. I've had this car through college. Now I'm working for the Department of Defense, and it takes me back and forth.
Yeah.
It's a good car.
Do they pay you at the Department of Defense, or are you a volunteer? Because
well,
if they're paying you,
now.
Go out and buy another car. See you, Leland.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you know, I think it's time for us to take a little break.
Hey, by the way,
uh-huh.
Did I tell you that there's someone who might be interested in my son's Fiat?
Oh, yeah? You settled on a price?
Well, not yet, but I did tell him that right at the outset that I'm not going to pay a penny more than $500.
Good man. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Junkman came by today. I didn't have the heart to let him take her away. She'd been sitting in that field for 8 long years. When I looked at that old blue
watching fireworks light up the sky.
And even though Terry Gross wonders if she could still fit into her TGI Fridays uniform whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and of course, the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Well, the essence of this Puzzler was sent in by someone named John Knight. And but I had to...
Obfuscate?
Well, not, I had to monkey around with it a little bit. Yeah. Not much, though.
Okay, that's good. So that even he can't get the right answer now.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway... We needed a new sign above our garage, and Tommy decided to hire a sign painter for the job instead of turning Krusty loose with a can of spray paint like the last time, and instructed the sign painter to paint a sign which simply said, Click and Clack's Garage. Those four words, you know, trying to cash in on our fame and whatever.
Yeah.
When it was finally finished and hung in place, Tommy stood there and carefully studied the new sign. After several minutes, he spoke. I don't like it. Something's not right. What's wrong? Asked the sign painter. Did I misspell something or use improper punctuation? No, it's nothing like that. Tommy then uttered a sentence in which he used one of the words on that sign five times in a row. And here's the interesting part. The sentence made sense. And furthermore, it explained what was wrong with the sign. Okay, so it's a sentence of many words.
Yeah.
But there was one part of the sentence where there was one word that was used five times in a row.
Wow.
And it was a word that was on the sign.
And the sign said, Click and Clack's Garage.
So the question, very simply, is what's the sentence?
Yeah, okay.
And there might be a lot of different answers, but I have my answer.
Yeah.
Okay, now if you think you know the answer... Write it on the back of a set of Fusionon 150-millimeter astronomy binoculars with electron beam coating, ED extra-low dispersion glass, 45-degree oculars, and a copy of a Hollywood map of Homes of the Stars. And send it, of course, to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But, you know... If you have a car question right now, give us a buzz. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Darryl Wallace.
Is that a D-A-R-Y-L?
D-A-R-Y-L, exactly.
Yeah, where are you from, Darryl?
Well,
you don't want to tell. You don't have to tell us.
No. I live in a motorhome when I'm in the United States. My car, this particular car is in Costa Rica.
Oh, in Isla Nublar.
Very close, as a matter of fact.
That's where you are right now?
No. Right now I'm in, Fort Charlotte, Florida.
He's on the move. He doesn't know where he is.
No kidding.
No, I move every couple of days.
Yeah.
I work for this circus, and so I live in a motorhome and travel.
No kidding.
You work for the circus.
Yes, we all have to do something.
What do you do for the circus?
I buy the advertising and set up media promotions.
Oh, so you're not a clown or a lion tamer or something interesting like that.
Oh, no, nothing glamorous. I'm the dolt
the promo
out
guy.
There and beats up on people for a few gross rating points, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
So the circus travels, I imagine, whenever possible by train, but more often than not by truck.
This is, yeah, right. They have.
Do you ride behind the elephants or in front of the elephants?
I never actually see the circus.
He's there 2 weeks before. Or
a
month.
I'm a couple of months ahead. I'm only 2.5 weeks from ending my season right now. I'm going home to Costa Rica in about a month, and that's why I desperately need to find out how to get this car working right.
All right. Well,
okay, so you got a car in Costa Rica.
Right.
And that's what the problem is with.
Right. I mean, cars in Costa Rica are the most expensive portion of living there.
Yeah.
And the availability of the parts and
So I got it. You want to make sure you bring the right part with you.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, good. What's the problem?
This is an 86 Trooper. It had 112,000 miles on it, and the whole motor was rebuilt.
Yeah.
And since the motor was rebuilt, About 40% of the time, it has no power whatsoever. In fact, there's a little jerky motion to it, not a violent lunging, but just a little jerking motion. You can feel the power coming and going, except when I try to go up a hill.
Yeah.
There's a little, in the middle of the instrument cluster there, there's, you know, little trouble lights.
Mm.
And there's one thing that says check engine. As soon as that trouble light comes on, the thing starts going like crazy and works great. and mostly that's uphill. And then when I level out or start coming down a mountain, it just starts jerking again.
Hmm. When the light comes on, it takes off.
Right. Oh, I pray for this trouble light.
Well, you do have, this car does have an onboard computer, and you can access the trouble codes with something called a scanner.
Mm.
Who can?
Okay.
I mean, not Manuel.
Oh,
I mean, a mechanic there, you know, he's got a screwdriver and a hammer. You know?
Yeah, well, that's about all you need.
Yeah.
You're done for.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't own a vehicle that has more technology than the local populace can handle.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, the car of choice for most of the mechanics there is a 1970 Toyota Land Cruiser.
That's what you should have.
That's good.
Mm.
Yeah. But I mean, let's go on the assumption for the moment that the light coming on is unrelated.
Oh no. No, I'd have to guess. That it's all related to the ignition system. From my vast knowledge of these troopers,
okay,
what's happening is you're not getting adequate spark, and then all of a sudden, you start getting spark because something is working correctly, like the module, the electronic. This has electronic ignition.
Yes, but why would the light come on before it starts working?
Well, I don't know that.
Oh, it's almost simultaneous.
Yeah,
simultaneous.
It's.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm sorry.
I like it because that's what it is, and that would explain everything.
What? What would explain?
That would explain why the light comes on and why it has no power occasionally. Because after the thing warms up a little bit, the electronic ignition kicks in, it heats up, and it starts working correctly. I think you need
He just said he could drive this around on flat land for all day, and it would have this bad symptom of jerking.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
I mean,
so it's warmed up, but it's not working.
On the engine. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that. All right, I don't like that either. Okay, let's junk that. All right.
On the other hand, consider that the check engine light comes on for some strange reason, maybe related to climbing a hill. Right?
Yeah, it has to do with the angle of attack.
And it's unrelated to what the actual level ground problem is. Could be two separate things.
Okay,
not that I have any ideas.
Oh
yeah.
No,
I'm just wondering if we use that.
I thought you were going someplace, and I was ready to yes you to death. Sure, sounds good to me. Come on, keep going.
Well, I don't.
You
know.
Don't see me stopping mid moronic statement. You're gonna say something stupid. You gotta carry it out.
How's this? It could be that the only time Daryl actually really steps on that gas pedal is when he's climbing a mountain. Daryl?
Yes.
Do you ever floor it when you're on level ground, or is there, like, no room to do that? Too much traffic?
Oh, no, the roads are too bad to actually ever floor it, you know, but...
So you never really floor it when you're on level ground, but you do have to floor it when you're climbing the hill.
Right.
And maybe that's what makes it suddenly clear up, the fact that you're flooring it. How's this? This is automatic transmission?
Yes.
Try this. You can't try anything because the car is in Costa Rica.
Well, jeez. I'll be there in a month.
I'll be there in a month.
I have time to do nothing but try things.
I know, but we're not going to be able to help you to bring a part with you. Well, maybe I can spur my brother onto greater heights. Let's try.
What if
we'll use a Gedanken experiment here? What? Wake up!
No, I'm trying to concentrate.
What if he got there and he did the following test? He gets in the car and it does this business. He puts it into low gear.
Yeah, sounds good.
So that now he's got to really floor it in order to do 20 miles an hour. And he discovers that it goes like a bat out of you know where. And it's related, therefore, to the position of the accelerator pedal. What if that were true?
It would be great if he had a throttle position sensor in this
thing.
Wouldn't it? But he doesn't because it's carbureted.
All right. Oh, and how many barrels does it have?
Two barrels.
And maybe the first barrel isn't really working right, and only when that second barrel opens up does it really go. Bring a carburetor with you.
Okay. Right. And a Toyota Land Cruiser.
I think it's in the carburetor.
You got to call us from Costa Rica.
Well, I mean, it could be. I mean, can you call an 800 number from Costa Rica? Sure.
Oh, well, he has a phone 7 miles away.
The truth is, if it were the carburetor, you might have a shot at getting it fixed down there.
Uh-huh,
because
okay.
There's plenty of there's more carburetor technology there than there is here.
Oh, sure, they don't understand.
Nobody around here knows how to fix a carburetor, but Manuel knows how to fix a carburetor.
Here's what you're going to take with you. The next 3 weeks that you're here in the States,
spend
that time buying the shop manual for this vehicle.
Shop manual.
Oh, yeah, you don't have one of them, huh?
No, I have. No, what's the one they sell in the auto parts stores?
No, you have Chilton's. That's useless.
Yeah, Chilton's,
Yeah.
You need the bona fide shop manual. Go to an Isuzu dealer someplace.
Okay.
And they may even give you one. The thing is so old. I mean, they don't work on these 86s anymore.
Yeah. And, I mean, just on the off chance, if you can buy a carburetor for $150 in a junkyard, I would put it in my suitcase.
Okay.
I got that feeling.
Put
you
it
know?
In the back of the Land Cruiser when you ship that over.
but
I would buy the shop manual, and there's a big troubleshooting section in there, you know, with all kinds of flow charts and whatever that tell you, if it does this, check this. If it does that, it's all right, check this.
And if it does this, buy a Toyota Land Cruiser.
Right. So good luck, Daryl.
Call us when you get there.
I will. I mean, this is, it's $3 a minute, but...
Hey!
Don't worry, we'll charge it to NPR.
Oh, okay.
No problem.
Don't sweat it. See you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Glad we could help you so much.
Oh, yeah. Our pleasure.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, this is Judy, and I'm from Freeport, Maine.
Freeport, home of you-know-what.
Yes.
Yeah, of
L. Bean.
B-E-A-M. N.
M-N, yeah.
So anyway, Judy.
Well, thanks for calling.
Well, I have a problem that I'm hoping if you can solve this puzzler that you're going to save my poor retiree mother like $26.99 because she's gotten this book. Actually, it's not a book. It's an ad promoting a book of New England remedies and how to do things for cheap. And it's a lot of come-ons, like, do you know how to clean your pots and pans with ketchup and all of that? We won't name the publication because it was a premium from public radio. But
really?
Here's the stumper. There's this statement, and she's ready to buy the book. And I said, don't do it. I know who will know the answer if anyone does.
Oh, yeah, we know everything.
Okay. 95% of the wear on your car's engine can easily be eliminated by using an old blanket, allowing the car to run trouble-free for a decade.
Okay.
What do you think?
Oh, I see. You buy this book, they're going to tell you what to do with
the
blanket.
They'll tell you how you can use a blanket to eliminate 95% of the wear on your car's engine and allow your car to run trouble-free for a decade.
I know they're going to tell you to take the blanket, cover the engine in the winter.
Yeah.
Put a light bulb underneath the blanket between it and the engine.
Yeah,
that's
it.
I think so.
I like that.
Yeah.
Just eliminating 95% of the
wear. Right, and if you're lucky, everything catches fire and the engine won't wear out anymore because it's burned up.
You get your insurance.
Well, and here's the rationale behind it. When it's very cold, all the oil, like all kinds of stuff, gets sort of thick and gooey. And even though they tell you that that's not true, of course it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, the oil is all at the bottom of the engine in that oil pan down there called the sump.
Yeah.
And so all the pieces that need to be lubricated are up above it.
So how do you do the light bulb without burning up the
blanket? Well, here's the thing. If you go in there and try to start your car on a very, very cold day, for a few moments, I don't know what those moments are, but for a few moments, the oil didn't get to where it ought to be because it's so cold and thick.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, if you take the blanket, cover up the engine, stick a light bulb under it, it will keep the oil nice and warm and toasty and therefore able to flow better.
Did you put the light bulb under the hood?
You put the light bulb under the hood,
under the blanket, actually.
and the blanket.
Yeah, you don't want it to touch the blanket because then you'll have a conflagration.
No, it probably doesn't make a difference.
Then it's even better then because the fire will keep the oil. But if you just want the blanket to keep the heat down there and not let it escape out the top.
I think that she's not going to buy the book for sure.
Well, someone's got to buy it.
No, I mean,
well, I don't know if we're right.
The truth is that's good. They're right.
Yeah.
Of course, if you happen to live in Miami Beach, it ain't going to help you a hell of a
lot.
Well,
that's why they weren't giving. That's why Miami Public Radio wasn't giving these out.
That's right.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Hey,
all
good
right,
question, Judy.
Judy.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you later. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Knicks, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Pritchard. Our engineer is John Carton-Parati, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the East Stromboli, Lemon Stoli, Guacamole, Fresh Aioli, Ravioli con Vongoli, Beef Rizzoli, No E. Coli, Supper with Poggioli, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our DNA researcher is Gene Hackman. Our director of fragile shipping is Paul Verize. Our staff tax preparer is Saul Baloney. Our military public affairs officer is Colonel O'Truth. The director of our employee loyalty program is Upton Leftis. Our optometric firm is CF Eye Care. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group, as always, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the shivering espresso sippers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And of course, don't drive like my brother.
And of course, don't drive like my brother.
Didn't I just say that? We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of the show, which is number 1241, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, check out our top 10 lists.
Right, 10 cars we hate the most. 10 things we'd like to see standard on every new car. 10 worst things your mechanic can ever say to you, other than, your daughter and I are engaged.
No!
Check out all of our top 10 lists anytime over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Hawaiians joyously toss their radios into open cracks in the earth whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.